gather here this morning in a season of thanksgiving to lift praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. FBC-Elon.org and pull up our worship bulletin and use that as a resource today during our worship time this morning. We had a wonderful time of prayer this morning starting at 9:20 in our sanctuary with our rooted prayer time followed by our Sunday school hour. I encourage you to come next Sunday with the same schedule as we enter the season of Advent next Sunday morning, but we are in the season of Thanksgiving. So if I am not the first, I apologize, but I do want to wish each of you and your families a happy Thanksgiving. I hope you have a wonderful time this week as you gather with friends and family, as you celebrate, and how your family and your friends celebrate this tradition of Thanksgiving. And I hope you're blessed by a worship hour where we give thanks to God for the blessings that He bestows upon us, not just this season, not just this week, but all year long. As we gather here today, I do also want to remind you about our Sunday afternoon and evening schedule today. We do have our church council meeting this afternoon at 3:30 p.m. So, ministry team, just a reminder, make sure your team representative is at that meeting upstairs at 3:30 today. We will continue our adult Bible study that we started last week. And I know we're not in Advent yet, but because of the schedule, we had to start our Advent Bible study a little bit early. The Redemption of Scrooge, Session 2, will take place this afternoon at 4:30 upstairs in the Fellowship Hall. We had a wonderful time of study last week, and that will continue again this afternoon at 4:30. Our children will also meet this afternoon as well, based on our normal schedule, so make sure you take note of all of our activities this afternoon and this evening. Now, next Sunday, we are entering into the season of Advent, and it's kind of hard to believe. The month of November has kind of flown by, it just seems like. But we are in the season of Advent beginning next Sunday on November 28th. And our church wants to prepare by decorating our sanctuary as a part of that season, and as a part of our entire church decorating and getting ready for the season of Advent. One of our ministry teams is prepared to start that decorating next Friday, this coming Friday, at 10 a.m. And if you are one that enjoys decorating their home for Christmas, this is a wonderful time that you can come and decorate the Lord's home for the season of Advent. So, all volunteers are welcome this coming Friday at 10 a.m. You're welcome to come and help prepare the sanctuary, prepare the fellowship hall, prepare the hallways, and some of our outside areas for the season of Advent. If you want to volunteer, you can talk to Kathy Hines. She's in charge of this team that's going to be in charge of decorating and getting everything ready. But this Friday, 10 a.m., is when they're planning to be to decorate and prepare for the season of Advent. You probably noticed on the worship slides this morning as you came in, there are two senior adult trips coming up, fun and fellowship trips. This is open to anybody that would like to come. One of those trips is taking place on December 1st. We usually go every year, and this trip is no different. We're going to the Southern Supreme Fruitcake Factory down in Bear Creek, North Carolina. It's a little tiny little place, but everybody knows about Southern Supreme Fruitcake. Either you love it or you don't, but it's a great place to go. You can pick up lots of Christmas gifts if you want to go. Make sure you sign up this morning. You can sign up as you leave this morning in the foyer, or you can sign up in the Sunday school classrooms. That trip will take place on December 1st. And then on December 7th, they'll be taking a group that's going to the Tanglewood Festival of Lights. And if you're interested in that, again, you can sign up in those places as well. Two wonderful times to get into the season of Thanksgiving, get into the season of Christmas, get into the season of Advent at this time. Also, you heard me talk about last week that Elon Reading Day for Elon University is coming up quickly. Our Elon students will be taking exams, and that is a very stressful time for them. And one way we're going to try to help out one of the groups on campus that will be taking exams is putting together some reading day bags, study bags together with snack items and food items just to give them a little boost when they're preparing for those exams. This year, we're adopting the Elon Cheer Squad. One of our college students that attends regularly is going to be helping us put those bags together and distribute those to the cheer squad. So if you would like to bring items for those, please bring them by next Sunday. Next Sunday is the deadline for Sundays that you can bring those items. And there is a clear bin at the end of the hallway. As you enter the hallway down here with our lower entrance, you can drop those items off. We want to make sure we're able to fill those bags to the brim. So make sure you bring those items next Sunday and drop those items off to the Communication Center as we prepare for the reading day for those students. And last but not least, the December newsletter will be coming out tomorrow or Tuesday, one or the other. The church office will be closed the rest of the week, but make sure you take note of all the items that are listed in the December newsletter. We have lots of things going on here at First Baptist Elon during the season of Advent during December. So make sure you take special note of all those items, and it will be a season where we give thanks to God and we continue to praise Him and anticipate the celebration of the birth of the Christ child. We gather here today to worship and celebrate and give thanks to God for who He is, what He has done, what He will continue to do in our lives today. So let's stand, let's sing praise to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, this morning. Thank you. Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. Not just this day, not just tomorrow, not just on Thursday, not just this year, but every single day from the very beginning, God has ruled over all creation, and God continues to rule, and God continues to bless us, and for that we give thanks to Him. For that we gather in this place today. For that we go to the Lord in prayer, and we lift up praise to Him this morning. Let us go to the Lord in prayer and give thanks this day. Father God, You reign. You are robed in majesty and armed with strength. You hold our world and our lives securely. Your throne has stood for all eternity. From everlasting to everlasting, You are God. Even when the waters rise up, when surging seas threaten to overwhelm us and pounding waves crash around us, we know that You are mighty. You are more powerful than the waves and the threats that we face every single day. Holy God, Your decrees are firm and unshakable and will last forevermore, far beyond the breaths that we take. For this, we lift praise to You this day in this season of thanksgiving. We lift these words of adoration and prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Sunday during the season of Advent. The season of Advent is a time of reflection and anticipation. It is a time of past, present, and future. And as we gather here at First Baptist Elon each Sunday, focusing on a different theme that God has blessed us with, we also remember that there are many during this time that the season of Advent is a time of struggle. While we give thanks this week for the blessings that God has blessed us with, there are many that those basic needs that we oftentimes take for granted, that many will struggle during this time. So each Sunday during the season of Advent, we will take up an offering, an Advent offering that will take place in many different forms each Sunday, trying to help reach some of the basic needs that are needed in our community and across this world. These offerings that we will take place, take up each Sunday, we will pray over. We will lift up the prayer for those needs that are being met, hopefully in our community. We'll distribute those to the individuals in our community who will hopefully meet those needs as we seek during the season of Advent. Our first Advent offering will take place next Sunday. It will take place, it will be an offering that we've mentioned many times before. It's been listed in your bulletins over the last couple of weeks. It's been in your November newsletter. And all these offerings will be listed in your December newsletter as well. The Salvation Army Angel Tree is a way that the Salvation Army has been trying to reach and meet these needs during this time of the year for many, many years. Many of you have picked up angels off the Angel Tree, and I want to say thank you for that. There are still a couple left today if you feel led to pick off one of those angels as you leave this morning. Those items are needed back in next week or in the week after that. But as a church body as a whole, next Sunday, we will be bringing items during next Sunday morning for some of those forgotten angels. Children during the year, that are ages 10 to 12 are often left out during this time. Lots of people like to pick the babies and the younger children, but ages 10 to 12 are oftentimes those forgotten angels. So next Sunday, we'll be bringing our toy in-gathering next Sunday morning for children from the ages of 10 to 12. Usually we take a toy in-gathering each year for the prison ministry, the Orange County Prison Ministry. They're not doing that this year, and they did not do it last year because of COVID. So this year, our toy in-gathering will be for the Forgotten Angels for the Salvation Army. Items that are needed are printed in your bulletin today. Items that are meeting the ages of 10 to 12. So next Sunday morning, during the worship hour, during a time during the worship service, we're going to encourage you to bring those items and bring them up to the altar. We'll pray over those items. We'll lift up prayers for them, and then we'll distribute them to Salvation Army after next Sunday morning. That's on next Sunday, November 28th. On December 5th, our Advent offering will be focusing on the food needs in our community. We'll be collecting a canned food drive. We'll do a canned food drive on December 5th. Those items will be brought forward during the morning worship service. We'll lift up a prayer for those needs being met, and we'll distribute those to the Salvation Army as well as they meet those needs. I actually saw a story on the news this past week that during this time, during the first couple weeks, during the holiday season, leading up to Thanksgiving and the first couple weeks of December when the pantries go dry. This is when the hardest needs are met for food needs. So we want to help meet those needs. On December 5th is when we'll collect canned food items. On December 12th, we're going to partner with Reedy Fork Elementary School. We've been collecting items for their crisis closet. There's crisis closet, which we helped establish. They have more underwear, undergarments, and socks than they need right now. They don't need any more of those items right now. However, when winter comes and the weather turns cold, there are children in their school that do not have winter coats and they do not have shoes that will cover their feet. So we're going to collect items on December 12th, winter coats and shoes to help meet those needs. Those items will be listed in your newsletter this month of the sizes that they need. That collection will take place on December 12th. And then on December 19th, as we mentioned last week, will be our CBF Global Missions offering. We'll be collecting a monetary offering. And that offering, our goal is to collect $1,500. And that will be distributed through CBF and that will go to missionaries around the world. Those will be each Sunday. They'll be listed in your newsletter, December newsletter, so you'll know what we'll be collecting each Sunday. And each Sunday we'll pray over those offerings. Each Sunday we'll lift up those prayers, we'll collect those offerings, and we'll distribute those to the needed communities, the needs that are being met each Sunday. Hopefully you will prayerfully consider supporting each of those offerings each Sunday morning, because each one meets a need that is going on in our community, also in a need that's going on across our world. Prayerfully consider supporting those offerings this season, during this season of Advent. Four ways to provide offerings, four ways to meet needs that are going on right now. Now at this time, I'll call on Sally Farnham to come forward for our offertory prayer this day.
Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Woke up to a beautiful, beautiful morning. You lift us up and have blessed us with the ministries of this church. We thank you for our pastors and our ministers that nurture us spiritually. We thank you for each member who uses their spiritual gifts to bless others. We thank you for the rich fellowship we enjoy with each other and you. We give our tithes and offerings to you now to support the ministries of this church and our community and worldwide. Amen.
Thank you.
perversity, in our impatience for answers. We sometimes turn in other directions to other things of our own making and forget our covenant with you. Passionate for what is right, we wrong those with whom we differ. Pleased at the invitation to your banquet, we fail to arrive with humility and thanksgiving. In this season of thanksgiving, forgive us when our faith is weak and our zeal too strong. May we come humbly before you, resting in your presence in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray this hour and this day. Amen. Again, let me say good morning. And again, let me say thank you for joining us for worship this day and this Sunday morning in this season of Thanksgiving. And if I have not wished you already, let me say again, Happy Thanksgiving. Last week I shared with you in my very short sermon last week, and again I said this week it will not be as short, that last week I shared the Thanksgiving characteristics, and that I would share with you this morning the secret of Thanksgiving. This secret that is not a secret at all if we truly think about it. No, it does not depend on whether you cook your stuffing inside the bird or outside the bird. That is not the secret of Thanksgiving. No, it does not matter if you cook or how long you whip the gravy for Thursday. No, it does not matter the ratio of onion on top of the green bean casserole. No, it does not matter whether your cranberry stuffing comes inside the can or if it comes all natural. That is not the secret of Thanksgiving. And no, it does not matter how many pounds your bird is. Even though one older lady, decided that it didn't matter what kind of bird you brought to the Thanksgiving feast. This was surprising to an elderly woman, however. You see, she wanted to surprise her family with the guests that she was bringing to her Thanksgiving feast, one Thanksgiving celebration. She decided shortly after New Year's one year that she was going to bring a special guest to her Thanksgiving feast, the only time that she got to see her family each year. So, after New Year's, she purchased a talking parrot that she was going to train for her Thanksgiving gathering the next year. She purchased it from a man online, as we all naturally would do. And shortly after New Year's, she decided to train this bird. But unfortunately, the previous owner of this parrot had taught this bird some unsavory words that she had to untrain this parrot for this next Thanksgiving. This previous owner had taught it every curse word in the book. So she had to untrain it before she could train it the right thing. She wanted to train it scripture passages to say at the Thanksgiving meal that we all would want to hear. So, like any good person, she had to untrain the curse words to train it the right things to say. One day she came home and the parrot said one of those unsavory words we would not want to hear at the Thanksgiving meal. And what did she do? She immediately said, "I'll teach you a lesson, bird," and she threw it in the freezer. Left it in the freezer for a couple of moments, and then pulled it out of the freezer and said, "Did you learn that lesson?" "Yes, ma'am, I learned my lesson. I'll never say that word again." A couple weeks later, she came home and heard that parrot say one of those unsavory words that she was trying to teach it. "I thought you learned your lesson," and she flew into the freezer again. This time she left the bird in the freezer for a few extra minutes, pulled it out of the freezer, threw it in its cage. "Did you learn your to the Thanksgiving meal is not any have anything to do with that bird at all. Of course, the bird people that come to our Thanksgiving feast may say something different. It has nothing to do at all with that bird. You see, the secret to the Thanksgiving, capital T, lowercase t, has to do with one word. It has to do with one word, and that word is contentment. See, it has nothing to do with T. It has to do with a lowercase c, spelled C-O-N-T-E-N-T-M-E-N-T. The secret to Thanksgiving is contentment. Wherever you find contentment, you will find Thanksgiving. Wherever you find contentment, you will find gratitude. Wherever you find discontentment, you will find grumbling, you will find complaining, you will find ingratitude. Thanksgiving and contentment go hand in hand. Thanksgiving and contentment are virtually inseparable. This morning I want to show you how you can be content and thankful no matter the circumstances that are around you. Even when life is hard, even when everything goes against you, even when everything is stacked against you, you can be content and you can be thankful. Turn your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at three short verses this day. Three short verses written by the Apostle Paul, and a man who had absolutely everything and gave it all up and lived a life that was, Winnie would say, basically everything was stacked against him. And in living that life that he lived, he found contentment. Paul reveals the secret of thanksgiving in this letter that he wrote to the church at Philippi. And in these three or four verses this morning, you will see and hear the answer and the secret to thanksgiving. Reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 this morning, the words will be on the screen behind me. I'll be reading from the NIV this morning, as I normally do. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When Paul was writing this letter to the Philippians, he is being held under house arrest among the winding streets of Rome. Outside the door stands Roman soldiers guarding the house. Inside what's taking place, Paul is dictating this letter most likely, probably to a scribe, and he's writing this letter to the church at Philippi. In his words, you hear a man who is thankful. A man who is thankful no matter whether he lives or he dies, because the man inside those walls this day does not know whether he is going to live or he is going to die, because he has the letter, he has the words, he has a death sentence sitting over his head. He has a joy that even trouble or trial table in front of him. How can he be this way, knowing not what his friends or his family is going through? How can he be this way? And he explains the secret by first stating that to be truly content, we have to learn to be content in life. You see, in the world in which we live in today, we are constantly placed in a situation of discontent. We do not live in a world of content. We live in a world of discontent. Let me share a story with you to explain this. A monk joined a monastery and took a vow of silence. He was allowed to speak words only every 10 years. Could you do it? Raise your hand if you could do that. You could speak every 10 years. I could do it. No, I can't do it. I like to talk. I like to talk every once in a while, not every 10 years. After the first 10 years of absolutely no speaking at all, his superior called on him and asked, "Do you have anything to say?" 10 years. The monk replied, "Food bad." After another 10 years of perfect silence, the monk again had the opportunity to speak, to voice his thoughts. This time, after 10 years, he said, "Bed hard." Another 10 years of silence passed, and he was called in by his superior. When asked if he had anything to say, he responded, "I quit." The older monk replied, "That doesn't surprise me a bit. You've done nothing but gripe and complain ever since you got here." Contentment is not our normal state of living. It is much easier to be discontent. It almost seems natural to grumble. Workers complain about their boss. Amen, right? Right, yay, I know you complain about me all the time. Or no. Students complain about their teachers, right? Students? Yep, amen. Humans gravitate towards griping. It's much easier to complain. But Paul says, "I have learned to be content." It did not come natural to Paul. It does not come natural to us. He had to learn it. Paul had once been on top of the world. Paul had been a Roman citizen. Paul was a Jewish rabbi. Paul was a Pharisee. He had absolutely everything. He was well educated. He was well off financially. But when he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, his life changed forever. Prestige was immediately changed for persecution. It took listening to God and getting God's perspective, not his own human perspective, for Paul to learn to be content. He wasn't content before. He was content afterwards. Contentment is a learned behavior, only learned from God. Contentment cannot be learned from humans. It can only be learned from God. Some of us will never be learned to be content in life. Some of us would rather live in discontent. You might be one of those people who are never happy unless you are miserable. And if that's the life you want to live, take it and live it. You will never be content unless you learn it from God. You might be too lazy to be content. It is easier to do what comes natural to life, and that is to resist the change. On the other hand, you may be ready for change. You may be ready this day to find contentment, and it can only be found in Him. Learn to be thankful. when things don't go the way you expect to go. We have to learn to be content no matter what's put on our plate, no matter what is put on the plate that lies in front of us. Being content is not dictated by the circumstances around us. Being content is easy when everything is good. It's easy when everything is going grand. A little girl was staying for dinner at her first grade friend's house one evening. The vegetable for the meal for that day was buttered broccoli, one of my favorites, but one of my youngest son's least favorites. And the mother asked that little girl that day, would she like some? Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I would love it. But when the broccoli was passed by her plate that day, she declined to take it. The mother said to her, I thought you said you love broccoli. The girl replied sweetly, oh, yes, ma'am, I do. I love broccoli with all my heart. I just do not like to eat it. Aren't we the same way? Sometimes we get broccoli placed on our plates. Maybe it comes in the form of sickness. Maybe it comes in the form of loneliness. Your plate could get piled up with a lot of unpleasant entrees that you really rather not have. But they do not disappear. You just can't get rid of them. There is no dog sitting under your kitchen table that can eat that food that you don't want to have. You have to clean your plate. It's not a question of whether or not you will take what you get. The real question is, how will you take what is placed on your plate that day? Paul explains that if we discover the secret of thanksgiving, which is contentment, we are okay with whatever gets put on your plate. How can we do it? Paul says it all comes down to this simple choice. I will not allow the circumstances to affect my internal attitude. I will not compare myself to what the person beside me has on their plate. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians that this is an unwise decision if we do. I will let go of any high and lofty expectations that are built upon myself. Paul reminded Timothy in the first letter that he sent him that we will not bring anything into the world, and so we should be content with what the Lord provides us when we have and when we are living in this world. When Jesus sent his apostles out, what did he say take with him? Take absolutely nothing. Because the Lord will provide what you need. The Lord will put on your plate what you need. We just hope it's a little bit of turkey and dressing. We just hope it's a little bit of cranberry, right? And not a little bit of broccoli. Amen? Amen. Contentment means we trust God knows best and that he treats all his creation equally or what we need. Paul faced many uphill battles that may have caused him to contradict this thought that God was taking care of him. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked three times, not just one, three times. He was imprisoned. You name it, Paul experienced it. Yet in all these circumstances, he was able to write the three verses we read earlier today, and Paul was content with God. It should be easy for us to be thankful. You can let your outward circumstances dictate whether or not you will be grateful this season, but guess what? Don't let it. Or you can do what Paul did. You can choose to be happy inside no matter what happens on the outside. You can choose to be content and thankful for whatever God puts on your plate. A young man went on a short mission trip to a leper colony and it lives in people today. On his final day, he was asked to lead the music during the worship services, and he asked if there was anyone out there that had a favorite song that they would like to be sung in this final service before he left. In the back, there was a woman who raised her hand, and he saw the most disfigured face that he had seen the entire time that he had been there. Leprosy had taken this woman's ears, this woman's nose, and this woman's lips. She raised her fingerless hand and asked this man, "Could we sing Count Your Blessings? Count Your Blessings." The missionary started the song, but could not finish because he was simply in tears. Someone later commented to him, "I suppose we'll never be able to sing that song again." He answered, "Oh yes, yes I will, but I'll never sing it the same way." The woman taught that young missionary the secret of Thanksgiving that day: to be content with whatever God puts on your plate. When we learn to be content, we ultimately learn that Christ is simple. All that matters is Jesus. When Paul says in his letter, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength," he was not bragging about jumping over tall buildings like Superman can. He was not talking about feats that he can do. Paul was saying, if Jesus is Lord of your life, you have absolutely everything you need to be content. Every reason that we need to be thankful. When you have Jesus, you have all you need. Even if the plate is empty, Jesus is enough. If you know Jesus, you have a God who hears you and all of heaven ahead of you. If you have Jesus, you have grace for every sin, direction for every turn, and an anchor for absolutely every storm you face. You have everything you need to learn to be content, whatever is put on your plate, even if it's a little bit of broccoli, in whatever form broccoli takes. If you are content, you know the secret of Thanksgiving, and it's not in. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the blessings of everything you give us absolutely every single day. But Father, most importantly, we thank you for the ability to be content, because in everything, the storms of life, the blessings of life, in absolutely everything that we face, we have you. And that is where contentment is found. And on this day, on this Sunday before the Sunday, the Thursday that we celebrate Thanksgiving, may we be reminded that in all, and in all, and in everything that we experience, you are there. And for that, we give thanks. We lift this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who changed the world for the better every single day. Amen. As we come to this time where we close our worship service, a service that has been centered around Thanksgiving, maybe for the very first time today, you recognize that Jesus Christ came for you and no other. And that Jesus Christ came for you. And for the very first time, you know he has changed your life. I'll be down front. I'll welcome you with open arms, and I will welcome you into the family of God. Or maybe today you're looking for a church home that seeks to thank God and give thanks to God, not just during this season, but every single day. That seeks to honor God with the way we worship, the way we make a difference in the world, in our community, and in the world. If you want to understand who First Baptist is and want to join our worship of believers, our family of believers, I'll be down front and embrace you and welcome you into this body. Or maybe just today, you just need a little bit of quiet time to spend alone with God. The altar is open. It's His altar. It's not mine. It's not ours. It is His. Spend some time with Him. Let us give thanks and praise to God as we seek to be content in the presence, in His presence this morning. Let us stand and sing a closing hymn this day. Thanksgiving. May you be blessed this season as you go with your family.